Father, we love you this morning. We give you praise and glory as we get started in your presence in the womb of the morning, such as this. We enter into the beauties of holiness. May the Lord command upon us the dew of youth. Glory to God. And may he sanctify our hearts, sanctify our tongues, sanctify everything within us as we consecrate ourselves before him, even this day. Glory to God. Lord, we love you and we thank you for another day in your presence. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you know, it is we're getting closer to the coming of the Lord. You know, and as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, you know, we need to make sure, you know, get your house in order, get everything else aligned with the will of the Lord and with God's spirit. And so today we will be talking about, you know, we need some coals of fire. The unruly evil. It's an unruly evil. It's a deadly tongue. We're going to deal with that this morning. But first, before we do, I want to invite you to share the room. Let's share the room. And let's share the room. I see a couple of shares. Share the room this morning and invite people to join us. Everyone needs a little dose of this today. So share the room. Share the room. Invite people to join us. You know, and as we get going here, we know others will join later. We trust, you know, we trust that we are ready to put the wood in order upon the altar this morning. This is one other way. This is one more way of putting the wood in altar, on the altar, making sure that the sacrifice is well pleasing to the Lord. You know, the sacrifice that stinks, the Lord is not going to come down in that fire. But even that sacrifice is pleasing to the Lord. And that what we're going to deal with today will be one of those ways to ensure that we have a good sacrifice that is pleasing to the Lord. So let's get started. Father, we thank you again in Jesus' name. Now, you know, let the priests burn wood upon the altar every morning, Leviticus 6 and 12. The fire shall not be put out. It shall ever be burned, in verse 13. We must set the wood in order every morning. So we're going to try to do that. This is an area that needs to be set in order. You know, and for new believers, for veteran believers, doesn't matter how long we've been with the Lord, this is an area of concern, always. And so we are going to hope that the Holy Spirit will help us to deal with this morning. I'm going to start here in Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to go into this right away. Hebrews chapter 6, I want to start at verse 1. It is time for us to move on to perfection, the scripture says. We got to move on to perfection. The way to do it, though, is there are so many little foxes that spoil the vine that we have to deal with. So therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works on our faith towards God. You know, so, but this perfection, which also Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, he said, be ye therefore also perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. God has always been requiring this perfection. You know, some people say, and this is one of those belief systems that we have to get rid of. Some people say nobody is perfect and nobody can be perfect. Well, if nobody is perfect and nobody can be perfect, then God wouldn't demand it. You know, it will not make sense for God to ask us to do something that he knows is impossible or become something that he knows is impossible. Even right away from when he was talking to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, at that time, you know, was still called Abraham. He was 90 years old and 99, you know, about just a little shy of, 100 years. Genesis 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect. So, God has always been asking of this perfection, demanding this of us. So let's throw away that, position that, well, nobody is perfect, this and that, and so forth. Maybe not yet, but we need to strive towards that. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, now are we already the sons of God. It's not that we are yet going to become. We already are. But there is a process of becoming into the fullness of his likeness. The process which he said in John chapter 1 and 12, those that receive him are given power to become. So even though we are automatically born into the kingdom of God when we receive Christ and when we believe on him and confess our sins and come into the kingdom like that, yet there is a process of going into sonship. The same process is described in Isaiah 9 and 6, where it said, a child is born, but a son is presented or given. So there's a process in between. And Paul talks about that also himself to some of his, some of the saints that he ministered to from time to time back in the day. He said to the, to those in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So this, for Christ to be fully formed in us, one of the issues we must deal with is what we are going to talk about today. That's right. So this is a serious subject, and it's a subject of consecration. And I pray, as always, that we will engage God in the spirit, not in the flesh, because Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 63 that it is the spirit that quickeneth and the flesh profits nothing. But the words that I speak, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. So we must engage him in the spirit in order to get the life from the words that he speaks to us. And as the speaker speaks, you must hear it directly from the Holy Spirit. Not just from the speaker, but directly from the Holy Spirit. So I pray that that will be our situation this morning, that we will hear from God for this consecration service this morning. We're going to take our main text from the book of James. Now, the book of James, in the New Testament, has a lot of wisdom and gems, similar to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be doing a lot of reading from the book of Proverbs today. But, starting first out with the book of James, and as you know, there is a chapter there in chapter 3 that is devoted to this topic. But there are some other things we're going to bring out by the Holy Spirit. So here we go, James chapter 3, and we're going to start at, the very beginning. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Well, that's a serious thing also to consider. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. So again, we're talking about that being perfect. And is able also to bridle the whole body. Wow. Let that sink in for a minute. In many things we offend, he says. But if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. So it is important for us, you know, in this journey, quest of being coming perfect, like he is perfect, to deal with this thing. Because this is a huge, or can be a huge roadblock to perfection, as it is said here. But if you can figure it out, how to not offend in word, then you're closer to that perfection. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths so that they may obey us. We turn them, you know, with that, we turn about the whole body of the horse, you know, when they put that thing in there. Even the big ships, even though they are so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm. That's however the ship captain or governor listed, which means wheresoever wants the thing to go. Even so, the tongue, even though it's a little member of the body, the tongue is not as big as some other parts of the body. It's actually small. But it boasted great things. And behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled. I mean, you want to, you know, a little fire, you can start. I mean, for those of us, you know, that live in dry areas like this, Arizona, especially in the summer, you know, a little fire like this, you know, can ignite a whole forest. So, that's how this tongue works. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And that tongue is a fire. Well, you know, it's a fire. We are the ones that are going to determine what kind of fire it is. It can be a good fire. It can be a world of iniquity. Right now, until we deal with it, the tongue is a fire and it's a world of iniquity. You know, so also is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body and set it on fire, the course of nature. And it is set on the fire of hell. My goodness. Now, he's not talking to unbelievers here. You know, he's not talking to unbelievers. He said, my brethren, you know, that's how he started this address. My brethren. But yet we're saying, he's saying that, look, if we're not careful, our tongue can set us on the fire of hell. Now that's serious. Every kind of beast, he said, and birds and of serpents and things in the sea is tamed and have been tamed of mankind. It doesn't matter what it is. Some men figure out to tame them somehow. You know, you even see wild lions and things like that. They've been trained and tamed and they perform in circuses and things like that. Some people even have these wild animals as pets in the house. But he said, the tongue can no man tame. Nobody. It is an unruly evil and it's full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the image and similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive branches or berries? Either a vine tree, you know, a vine, can it bear figs? He said, in like manner can no fountain both yield salt water and clean water. Hallelujah. So, let us consider these things that this scripture is challenging us with here today. And as we go through this, invite people to join us because we all need to deal with this. And it's consecration this morning. So we need to deal with this. So let's get in here and hear all the things that he's telling us about how this tongue can be so fiery that it will set our body on the course of hell if we are not careful. You know, and you can't tame this. But we're going to talk about how to tame this tongue. It's be part of our lesson today. Naturally speaking, the tongue cannot be tamed by anybody. but we're going to talk about how to tame it towards the end of this later on. But first, we're going to bring out the evil that can be in this tongue. Then we're going to bring out the good that can be in this tongue, especially when it is tamed by the Holy Ghost. So we're going to bring out these various aspects. You know, but first, before we do that, let's talk about all the things, you know, how this tongue plays, the role that it plays in our life or can play. You know, in the book of Matthew chapter 12, from verses 34 and 35, Jesus is talking about, you know, addressing the Jews and talking about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, the good treasure of the heart, you know, you bring forth good things, and somebody that has, you know, evil treasure in his heart, they can also bring forth evil things. You know, so first of all, we want to let you know that the words that we speak, they come from the heart. But he also warned and said, look, every idle word that men speak, verse 36, they shall give account of in the day of judgments. For by your words thou shalt be justified, and by your words thou shalt be condemned. So words can be very powerful. You know, O generation of vipers, that's how he starts out. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what's in your heart? How can we tell what's in your heart? Well, it's what your mouth speaks. Some people say, well, it doesn't matter. It's what's in the heart. No, what's in the heart is what the mouth speaks. That's what Jesus is saying here. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. You know, what is in the heart is what you will speak. Now, so that is something for us to watch out against. This heart, we have to guard our heart. We're going to come to that in a minute. Guard your heart, because out of it comes for these words that defile the whole body. Matthew chapter 15. Let's read that. In this chapter, they are challenging Jesus about, you know, his disciples and all of that, not washing their hands, you know, when they eat and so on. You know, so Jesus is going to address that situation or that concern now, or those accusations that, look, you may eat with unwashing hands, he said, but that's not going to defile you. You may get sick, you know, you have germs and all that. Maybe you'll get sick from it. But that doesn't bring defiling of the spirit, you know. So he just said, look, are ye yet without understanding? You know, because the disciples came to him later to explain to them what he meant when he said, you know, let's go earlier in the chapter and say, hear and understand. He told them multitude in verse 10. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth. That's what defiles a man. Now, out of the mouth, that's the tongue. The tongue is the one that's speaking. As I'm speaking to you right now, you know, people say, are you tongue-tied when somebody cannot speak? If you tie down the tongue, nobody can say anything. You know, sometimes maybe we need to do that. We'll come to that in a little bit. You know, so every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. And then he goes on to tell them when they came in and to explain it to them about this thing that goes into the drop. You know, he said, look, whatever goes into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast into the drop. You know, that does not defile a man. But what the things that proceed out of the mouth, which come from the heart, that's what defiles the man. So you got to be very careful. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, backbitings, bitterness, you know, all these things come from the heart, setting discord between brethren. Every negative thing that people do, Jesus is saying, comes from the heart. You know, and the greatest channel out of that heart is the mouth. So we got to guide this tongue. And we can't really do it, it looks like. But he said, look, every idle word will be judged. You can be justified by your words, you can be condemned by your words, and you're very, very careful. Proverbs 18:21 says, the power of life and death is in that tongue. It's right there. So what does he mean by life and death? I mean, how can life and death be mixed up together? Well, it's in the same things that we are reading now. By your words, you can be justified, which is life. By your words, you can be condemned, which is death. So we got to determine within ourselves, you know, which direction we want to go. So death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love each other eat the fruit thereof. You know, this is a, there are many warnings in the book of Proverbs. Let me read first some of them, and then we'll also see, I mean, we're talking about the negative side first, then we'll also see the positive side. You know, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3 also tells you, you know, about, gives us warning. If you can keep your mouth, you know, just keep your mouth. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. And this is that tongue. You can just say all kinds of things. You know, if you're not careful, you just, that tongue will get you into trouble. It even calls it, you know, destruction. Wow. You know, I don't think any believer, you know, wants to allow or should allow his tongue to bring them into destruction. You know, Proverbs 15 verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. So there's good sides to it. When it is wholesome, it's a tree of life. And I'm going to speak more about that in a little bit. But perverseness in the tongue will be a breach of his spirit. So we got to be careful with that, with those perverse, you know, perverseness. In this same chapter, verse 1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. What are words? Well, they are words that are conjured up by the tongue. The tongue is behind all this. The tongue is the one, and this thing causes separation between very friends. It causes separation between husband and wife. It causes separation between brethren. It causes separation. I mean, tongue. People just use their tongue anyhow to say things. Some people even say things that they know to not be true, but, you know, because it's coming from their heart. But it's their tongue. If they just put a padlock on that tongue, you know, maybe they'll be in good shape. You know, the people that gossip and stuff like that, it's all in that tongue, and it all comes from the tongue. Let's look at Proverbs 18, you know, and verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. You know, that's a fool. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. Wow. Wounds. It's like taking a knife to stab. That's what this tongue can do. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. You know, once you speak that word, drop a word, you can't take it back. People say, well, I take it back. No, you cannot. You cannot take it back. It will leave, even when the person says, oh, it's okay, it will leave a scar. It will always leave a scar. If you're in a relationship or you're married and this and that, you speak any of those vitriolic words, words that carry venom and poison, you cannot get that back. Even when they say we forgive, you know, it will be there. So be very careful before you release those words. Once you release those words, you cannot, it's like wounds go down to the innermost parts of the belly. Very hard to get it back. You know, no matter even when people say, oh, I take it back. Anytime I hear people say, I take it back, you know, I just wonder, can you really take it back? No, it's hard to take it back because, you know, they will remember it. you know, for a long time, they will remember it, you know. The repeating a matter that doesn't, you know, we cover discretion when we cover the seven pillars, yeah, you know, here at our church. Discretion, repeating a matter that should not, you know, which is not a need to know. It can separate very friends. You'll find out in Proverbs 17 and verse 9. Just repeating a matter. You know, you go tell, talk. There are some people that can't control their mouth. You know, they're like, you know, broadcasting a radio station. They are the announcement. They are the public service announcement. You know, you tell them something that should be kept to themselves. They broadcast it everywhere, you know. And if you want everyone to hear it, just go tell it to them. You don't need a radio station. That's that person sufficient. You know, this is a terrible, terrible vice. And it is something that we need to deal with. So in this consecration service today, that's what we're going to be dealing with. Because the Lord wants us to be perfect. And we cannot be perfect when this tongue is running amok. You know, a talebearer is something that God, you know, condemns. He detests. Even in the book of Leviticus 19, he told them in, I think, verse 16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Huh? Don't be a talebearer. If a talebearer loses their tongue, talebearing will stop. So any of these talebearings, you know, if you cut off their tongue, it will stop. That's how deadly, you know, this tongue can be. It's very, very deadly. So we are going to address some of it. I'm just calling out all the vices of this tongue and all the, you know, terrible things that it can do. A false witness, the Bible says in Proverbs 6 and verse 19, a false witness speaks lies, and he that soweth, you know, discord among brethren. You know, this, but the tongue is what's behind all of that. You use the tongue to do all this evil, to, you know, bear false witness, to sow discord, you know, among the brethren and so forth. You know, I mean, knowing all these things, then how terrible these tongues can be. Who then can tame the tongue? I mean, how can the tongue be tamed? Well, we're going to get that into a minute. But before we do that, you know, here are some lessons of how to help tame that tongue. Silence sometimes can be golden. You know, just keeping silent can be golden. The scripture says that even a fool, somebody who's already known to be a fool, when they keep their mouth shut, you know, it's like counted to them as wisdom. That's Proverbs 17 and verse 28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. I mean, somebody that is already known to be a fool, you know, they just keep their mouth shut. And you know, that's even wisdom. If you are in a conversation and people are discussing and arguing, if you keep your mouth shut, you'll be like a wise person, because they don't know what's in your mouth. They don't know even what side you are in the argument. You keep your mouth shut, you know, then everybody is just be wondering, you know, what's in your mind, because you kept your mouth shut. You know, most people who rattle with their mouth all the time, they become very ineffective when they speak. Same thing with a parent. If you're always yelling at your kids, you're always shouting at them and so forth, you become very ineffective. It doesn't even mean anything to them anymore, because you're always yelling. They call you a yeller, you know. But if you hardly ever speak, same thing in anywhere you are. You go into meetings on your job, you go into places and things like that. You are, you know, in business, in school, whatever, you hardly ever speak. The one day that you open your mouth like this, you will be able to hear a pin drop in that room. Everybody will pay attention, because this is somebody that never speaks. You know, but the person that's always rattling their mouth and so forth, you know, after a while, you know, people just tune off because they're always rattling their mouth. But the one person that keeps their tongue, they are like wise. Even if they were really had no words of wisdom, people still think that they are wise just because they haven't spoken anything. You know, so it's very important for us to know and watch our words. The words that we speak and the way that we carry ourselves, whether we speak or don't speak. Ecclesiastes 3 will tell you there's a time to speak. There's a time to refrain from speaking. Now, Proverbs 21 and 23 will tell you, if you keep your mouth and your tongue, you will keep your soul also from troubles. That's Proverbs 21 and verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Wow. So that mouth can do a number, you know, on your spiritual status with the Lord. If you're not careful, that mouth, people who love to run their mouth off, and especially everybody until that tongue is tamed, and that tongue must be tamed. And so that's what we are dealing with this morning. Proverbs 29 verse 11 will tell you that a fool will utter all this in his mind. Just open their mouth, blue, 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 and just say everything. But a wise man will keep at it until afterwards. You know, that's what I've been talking about. When you just don't say anything, you are considered wise. And then later on, you know, you just release something. And it carries a whole lot of influence, you know, when you do that. Let's read verse 20 of the same Proverbs 29. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? I mean, they just shoot from the hip. They don't think before they speak. They just rattle off. He said, there is more hope of a fool than him. A fool is already known to be a fool, you know. But a man that's hasty in his words is even worse. They've been told to be like a fool. So this is, you know, these things are very important for us, you know, to watch out for. So as you begin to consider the evil that the tongue can bring, we want to make sure that, you know, we also consider how we can tame this tongue. How? And I'm going to talk about that next. How can we tame this tongue? And once the tongue is tamed, then we're going to go to all of the great things that the tongue can be used for. Now, this is the tongue when it's not tamed. All these things I've been talking about. It's the tongue when it's not tamed, right? But when that tongue is tamed, then we're going to see how it can be used. So first of all, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to now begin to look at how we can actually tame this tongue. You know, study to be quiet, he says in verse 11 of 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, 4:11. Study to be quiet. So it's something you have to train yourself. You have to study it. I mean, it's not something that comes naturally. And it takes practice. That's why he says study. He didn't just say be quiet. You know, be quiet is easier said than done. You got to study because that tongue is ready to turn loose, to wreak havoc. But you've got to study how to shut up that tongue, how to put it under. Like Paul said, I put my body under. You got to study how to kill that flesh, you know, mortify the deeds of the flesh. This is one huge one of it. You know, this tongue that creates fire and causes all kinds of problems. You know, this tongue is can be deadly. So, but when we study, you have to study to be quiet. You know, when somebody speaks, take your time before you respond. You really can't control what somebody else is going to say, but you most certainly can control what you are going to, how you are going to respond. You can't control how people are going to behave, But you can control how you are going to respond. And if you do not respond in kind, especially, you know, you just be quiet. Don't say anything in the heat of the moment. You can use wisdom. You know, when people get into argument, husband and wife, you know, and the devil will stir up the soul, get in there, you know. Are you going to let them just say that to you and you walk away? Get in there and have your own, you know. And even believers, the devil will stir up, you know. You're going to let them just be like that, you know. You get in there and tell them a piece of your mind. Give them a piece of your mind. Out of the heart comes forth all those vitriolic, venom, you know, words. Poison. And they're poisoning to the soul. They are poisonous to the soul as well. You know, but if we learn how to control our words, it could become a channel of blessing. Colossians 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace. Now, let means it's something you have to control. You know, it's not just going to be by itself. You got to work at it. You know, it can be with grace, though. It can be seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. You know, look, your words can be words of grace once you learn how to tame the storm. Words of grace instead of words of poison. We've already read how the devil can bring words of poison. I mean, that tongue can be, you know, and you can fill in the gap. I didn't go to all the things today, but you can fill in the gap. You can just, that tongue can just be, you know, set on fire, everything. You know, but Isaiah 50 and verse 4 also said, the Lord had given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. How do you learn to do that? Well, it's learning. Learning to control this tongue is a process. You may do well in it in one day, and if you don't keep it under control, it's a continuous process. You find out that the next thing you know, this tongue is saying something that it shouldn't be saying. You know, and it just goes like that. In the multitude of words, you know, too much words, just speaking all the time, rattling off and so forth, unless it's words of grace. You know, if you're not careful, there will be sin in there. Proverbs 10 and 19 will tell you that. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. So again, we're talking about, you know, how to tame this tongue. That's by refraining to speak, refraining yourself from speaking. Keep your mouth shut at times. You know, that will help you if you can do that. You know, James chapter 1. You know, we're talking, I mean, remember, we're reading, if you joined us after we started, we're reading and discussing the topic of an unruly evil, that deadly tongue, which carries deadly poison, and what it can do, how it can be a roadblock to our quest for perfection, which is, this is what Jesus said we should be, to be perfect. You know, and, but James chapter 1, verse 19 also gives us the, you know, the one of the ways to do this. Let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, he says. So this is something we have to work on. You have to practice this. You know, take time. Count to 10 or 20 or whatever before you say anything, to respond to any. Just take your time. Don't just respond and shoot from the hip, as they say. Just count a few seconds, like 10, 20, before you even say anything. And think before you say it, because that's what the Bible is saying here. Be slow to speak. Be a good listener. That's good. But take your time in speaking. Refrain your tongues. from just speaking anyhow, and you will be wise. You know, pleasant words can be a honeycomb to the soul. Proverbs 16 and verse 24. If you know how to bring pleasant words, you know, it aligns also with, you know, let your words be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. If you can just bring those words just right, you know, but to do that, you have to practice. If we don't practice, that tongue is going to run amok. No, pleasant words as a honeycomb, they're sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You know, pleasant words. Also, it talks about that being a tree of life. You know, in Proverbs 15 and verse 26, it talks about the pleasant words. So we're looking at the good part of the what the tongue can do now. You know, when the tongue can do this, it can do all these things. You know, the words of the pure are pleasant words. In verse 4 of Proverbs 15, you know, that was verse 26. But in verse 4 of Proverbs 15, it talks about, you know, a wholesome tongue and be a tree of life. I mean, just life to people. Hey, you know, I mean, bring life to people. It's amazing what when the tongue is wholesome, you know, but the tongue cannot be wholesome without the help of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm gonna give you another thing in just a minute. You know, a word that is fitly spoken. Proverbs 25 and verse 11. You know, if you can take your time to speak words of grace, he says, look, they're like apples of gold in pictures of silver. I mean, they look so good, you know. That's Proverbs 25 and verse 11. And even in the scriptures, in the New Testament, Ephesians 4 and 29, let no corrupt communication come out of your lips, but that which is useful to the good of edifying, so that it might minister grace to the hearers. Ephesians 4 and 29, very, very important. You know, Proverbs 10, verses 19 and 20. All the benefits when the tongue can be used right. You know, the tongue of the just, we read before that, you know, multitude of words, you know, bringeth sin and so forth, but he refrains his lips is wise. The next verse says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. You know, so these things are important for us to know. Now, what is the greatest way of, you know, of taming this tongue? Well, let's read a story, and that's going to be where we are going to pray about today. There's a story in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, starting at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and twain covered his face, with twain he flied, and twain he covered his feet, and so on. And one of them cried to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now, this was the glory of God, the presence of God. And when Isaiah saw this presence, he said, woe is me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. Now, the presence of God will help you recognize that your tongue needs to be tamed. That's what one of the things the presence of God would do. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. But now my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You know, and it's like you know, the revelation, the presence of God will reveal how we ourselves are unclean. That's what the presence of God does. And it will convict, but it's not in a, you know, it's not in a way that brings condemnation. It's a way that brings conviction. That's a big difference. You know, Holy Spirit does not bring condemnation. He brings conviction. And it will help you, it will draw you to Christ. You know, not turn you away. People who are condemned, they're turned away. That's not the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will draw you to Christ through conviction. So that's not the same as condemnation. Now, when you, I've given this illustration before. Here in Phoenix, Arizona, it's always sunny, especially in the afternoon. And when you open your window blinds and let the rays of those sun, of that sun come into the room, and you look around the room, you know, inside those rays, you can see all the dust particles flying around, if you know what I mean. Those dust particles were there the whole time. It wasn't the sun that brought the particles, but it was the sun that revealed the presence of that dirt and the dust that was in the room. The dust and the room was there all the time, but you didn't get to see it. Now, when you open those window blinds and let those sun rays shining, then all of a sudden you see all these particles flying around. You know, that's what the presence of God will reveal in our lives, the areas that need more consecration. Like that tongue, presence of God. And here's what an experience that Isaiah received here in verse 6 of Isaiah 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. And we need this. And which he had taken from the tongs, with tongs from off the altar. I mean, this thing was so hot, he couldn't even touch it. He had to use something to get it. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken from thee, and your sin is purged. Glory to God. I call this Holy Ghost branding. You know how people brand their cattle? And those are rare cattle and so forth. You know, they take those, you know, they put the, you know, their trademark thing, their sign, their insignia. They put it on in, you know, they make it with iron and put the iron in the fire for a long time. And when that thing is red hot, they bring it out and stick it on that cattle, on their butt or somewhere. And they, my goodness, it brands them. Well, this is Holy Ghost branding of the tongue. This is it, right here. It needs a coals of fire from the altar. That's why I titled this room today, It Seemed Good to the Holy Ghost and to me, by the grace of God, to call these coals of fire down from heaven that we need. We need it against the unruly evil, the deadly tongue that creates this poison that sets the, you know, on a course of fire, the fire of hell. We need to deal with it. Have you ever wondered why a lot of people, when they first receive the Holy Spirit baptism, you know, it comes with speaking in tongues, other tongues? Why? You know, this is part of it. You know, God is showing us that that tongue must be controlled. It must be controlled. So when the Holy Spirit comes, one of the first things he does, not always, but one of sometimes, you know, is to take over that tongue. And as the Spirit gives utterance, people begin to speak in an unknown tongue. This is something they don't know. You know, now for you to speak naturally, your brain is working. You know, that's why Paul said, I will speak with my understanding. Your brain is working. You understand the words. You know, these words that I'm speaking now, you know, my brain is working. This brain is so amazing. You know, it's an attribute of God. It's so amazing how this brain can function. The brain can think and compute 1,000, 100 words in advance, even before you speak it, you know, and it drops down into the heart, and then how to pull it out, go into that tongue. And you can say all those good things or bad things, whichever one it is. But when the Holy Ghost comes, and the real speaking in tongues for the Holy Ghost, folks, is not by the understanding. People don't understand what they are saying because it's in an unknown tongue. Holy Ghost takes over. It's an illustration of how this tongue needs to be tamed. Holy Ghost takes over that tongue. And you begin to speak in an unknown tongue. You may even begin to pray in an unknown tongue. The Holy Ghost begins to take over. And it tells us that, look, there is a Holy Ghost takeover and there is a Holy Ghost makeover that is needed upon our tongues. And the coals of fire from the altar must come to brand those tongues. So today it's a consecration service. And we're going to go into prayer in just a bit. And the prayer, Lord, is make me a sanctuary. Help me, Lord, to tame this tongue. And I guarantee you, everyone that's listening to this, you all know how your tongue has gotten you into trouble multiple times. You know that. Everybody, including myself, if I speak irrationally sometimes, even the great prophet Moses, he got into trouble. The great man of God, he got into trouble because of this tongue, you know, and he could have been, if he had been a little less, you know, angry and less agitated, you know, he could have been, you know, he probably not gotten into as much trouble, but he did. He got into a lot of trouble because he let his tongue run off. You know, things like he spoke, you know, you can read the story in Numbers 20. How he said, look, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? As if he's the one that's going to do it. You know, are we going to bring water out of this rock? And all of that. You know, you're not the one that's going to bring the water out of the rock. Read it in Numbers 26. I mean, Numbers 20, you know, verse 20. Shall we fetch water out of this rock? I mean, Moses was angry. And he began to smite the rock and all of that, you know, and, you know, listen to how when he was recounting the story in the book of Deuteronomy himself, you know, he now said, look, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes. Well, it was his mouth that caused him problems. You know, was angry. He called the people of God rebels and did all, you know, God stirred up in his soul and ran off his mouth. And the scripture say Moses spake unadvisedly with his mouth, you know, and this was a great man of God. He was a man that saw the glory of God. I mean, just think of Moses. You know, he saw the glory of God on Mount Horeb, you know. I mean, he witnessed all those miracles. You know, and in the land of Egypt, I mean, he performed incredible things. And at the end of it all, it was his tongue that did him in. You know, his tongue that did him in. Listen to Psalms 106 and verse 33. In this Psalm 106 is also recounting all the things that happened before. And he brings out how, you know, how the people stirred up Moses and how he spake unadvisedly with his mouth. And his mouth got him into trouble. Wow. You know, so this tongue can really be a problem And we got to be very, very careful. You got to be a problem. He went ill with them, with Moses, because of his tongue. Let me read to you Psalm 106. You know, starting from verse 32. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that he went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. You know, Moses could have controlled his lips, controlled his tongue, and, you know, things might have gone a little better for him. But because of that anger, allowing his tongue to just run wild, say, well, shall we fetch water out of this thing, as if he's the one that's going to do it, and began to strike the rock when the Lord said, speak. You can't strike that rock twice. You know, the Lord didn't want him to strike the rock. He says, speak. You know, even though the Lord still honored him and brought the water out, the Lord judged him for it later. He said, you did not sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. So go, you know, come up here and see all the land, but you're not getting in there. And the tongue kept him from that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you think that this is not serious business, then think again. If Moses' tongue and his angry spirit for just one moment can cause him to miss, you know, that great thing which he was commissioned and he was on the track to do, and God wouldn't let him do it. God left this thing there for an example for us. So we need to deal with his tongue. We need the Holy Ghost branding on our tongues. We need to deal with this thing and subdue it. We need to study to be silent. We need to study, even a fool, when he keeps quiet. We're told that he's considered wise. Men and brethren, this is our lesson today. And I'm going to pray over this room. And I want you to come and join me in prayer. You know, come to the stage. Let's pray together. Every one of you that wants to do that, feel free to come to the stage. I'm sending invitations to multiple people. Come to the stage. This is, you know, this is something we got to deal with, folks. You got to deal with this thing. We got to deal with it. And if you know you have a problem in this area in particular, you better come to the stage right now, because this is the hour of consecration. You know, and I'll be the number one person, you know, to, you know, especially as a preacher, you know, as a, you know, somebody that loves to speak, you know, I got to be careful, you know, what I say, you know, because, you know, I can say stuff that can really help people. But if you're not careful, you can also say stuff that can really confuse people. Because the Bible says that, look, in as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the body of Christ. So those of us that are even speakers and preachers and things like that, you know, we got to be careful, you know, because this tongue can be an unruly evil, a deadly poison, but it can also be a tree of life. So you can make a choice. And you have a choice to make today, but it's an ongoing process. It's not a one-time thing. You can't just pray this prayer today and say, well, the Lord, you know, could help me. And then he helped you. And then tomorrow, if you don't pay attention, you let your tongue run off, you'll be back to square one. So, you know, we have to live a life of consecration in putting this tongue under. It's a real problem. It's a problem in families. That tongue. It's a world of fire. Create problem between husband and wife, between parent and child, you know, and all these things, between brethren and brethren, everywhere. This tongue is horrible, or can be horrible. And we need to deal with it. But when it is dealt with, oh my goodness, that tongue can be a tree of life. When people are cast down, your tongue can be saying there is a lifting up. You know, when people are discouraged, your tongue can be saying, trust in the Lord, and you can be encouraging them. You can be the source of encouragement. Your tongue can be the tongue of the learned, seasoned with salt. It can be with grace, so that you know how to answer every man. You know, your tongue, if once you get the corruption out of the tongue, it can become a powerful tool for the Lord. And this tongue must This tongue must be surrendered to God, because this is the thing that God is going to use. God will use our mouth, the same mouth that we use to preach to unbelievers. It is this tongue. So we need, this tongue is so powerful. But when we stand in prayer and praise to the Lord, we bless the Lord with this tongue. We bless the Lord. This is the tongue. Even this tongue is what I'm using now to deliver this message. But this same tongue, if we are not careful, we're going to use it to backbite, you know, to tailbear, to do tailbearing, to say things that you know, discretion would have taught you not to say. Bible even says it goes even worse. We use this tongue to curse people. I hope that's not among believers, but he was talking to believers. You know, with this same tongue, we curse men. And with this same tongue, we bless God. Can a fountain bring forth both evil water and good water at the same source? No. So we need to choose which way we want our tongue to do, to go. And this is our consecration prayer today. I want to have, in the next several minutes, an old-fashioned consecration fire, I mean prayer fire, going on here. I want people to open their mouths and begin to pray and ask God for grace in this area. So let's do it. If you are here with me on stage, release your mics, all of us together. Let's begin to pray. And if you are in the audience, begin to pray as well. And as we are praying, come to the stage and join us. Add your voice to this prayer. Because this, your tongue must be tamed. Glory to God. Come on to the stage and join us. Let's begin to pray. We begin to raise your hand if you want to come to your
glory. Let me speak to things that accept
this tongue,
things that are pure. Lord,
it's an unruly evil.
My body with
the and tongue. I want this tongue. I want that pulse of
fire.
We need that pulse of fire. I need that pulse of fire, Lord, in my tongue.
Amen.
By my tongue. Brand my tongue. We need a Holy Ghost branding. Pray. Can you pray with me for just a few minutes? Jesus said, can you watch with me for an hour? Can you watch with me here for just a few minutes? Ask the Lord for grace in this area. We need it, every one of us. Don't be silent. You know, don't be silent. This mouth will run amok. Use this mouth now in prayer to call unto the Lord to control this tongue in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, I pray in this room today, the Holy Ghost fire to come upon our tongues, coals of fire from the altar to brand our tongue, to remove the iniquity that is in this tongue, the poison that is in this tongue. Let the word of God dwell richly in our hearts, that we may know how to draw out of the wells, the deep wells of the heart, good things of the scriptures that can bring edification and comfort and admonition to souls that hear us. In the name of Jesus, I pray that our words will be seasoned with grace. Let my words, O Lord, be seasoned with grace. Let my tongue be like the pen of a ready writer. Let my tongue be like the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to give graceful words to people. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. This tongue, the Bible says, it is something that will cause us to miss perfection if we are not careful. Your tongue, you need to control this tongue. You talk too much. You know, this tongue is going to lead you into real problems. I've already done, put you into trouble many times. Talk, tail bearing and so forth, you know, and all these things. You know, no, we need to get the Holy Ghost to brand this tongue. And this tongue is study to be quiet. Keep your mouth shut at times. So you don't have to speak at every time. There's a time to speak. There's a time to be quiet. Be silent before me, O isles, the Bible says. You know, it is time for us to learn. Study to be quiet, he said. Study. We have to study. It takes practice. You're not just going to be able to do it. You know, you have to study to do it. Glory to God. Father, Lord, we thank you for the exposition of this evil that is in this tongue. No man can tame it, the Bible says, but the Holy Ghost, he can tame it. The coals of fire, ha, they can tame it. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, we commit our lives into your hands. This consecration prayer this morning, let my heart, you know, because the Bible says the mouth speaks out of the abundance of what's in the heart. So we got to circumcise our hearts this morning. Glory to God. And we got to circumcise our tongues this morning. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you will help us, oh God. Help us, help me, that we should stop, count to 20 or whatever before you say anything. Study to be quiet. Be slow to speak, the scripture says. Glory to God. For in the multitude of words, there lacketh not sin. But even a fool, when he keeps his mouth shut, is considered wise. Oh, Father, Lord, let my words be. And the Bible says a word that's fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Let my word be like a tree of life to those that hear them. In the name of Jesus. He said the words, you know, of the righteous are like a tree of life. Let my words be like that, oh God. Bring in life. Glory to God to people that hear. And let my words, let this my mouth not cause me to, you know, say a thing. With this same mouth, folks, ladies and gentlemen, with this same mouth, we rush to make a vow to the Lord, but then we don't do it. The Bible warns us, he said, look, be careful now because the Lord has no pleasure in fools. Don't let your mouth be rash, you know, to say something before the Lord. You say, oh, Lord, if you do this, yeah, I will do that. And yet the Lord does it, then you don't do the other, you know. So the God has no pleasure in fools. A fool is something that say, I will do this, but they don't do it. You know, when we make a vow with this amount to the Lord, and yet we don't do it, we become a fool in his presence. And we don't want that. You know, let's remove from us the way of lying. The Bible calls it even sometimes say, listen, by lying. It calls it, look, take this from me, O God. Help me, the great man of God, Moses. This tongue was what caused him to miss the promised land. How much less any of us here, you know? When he spake unadvisedly with his mouth, when he was angry and called the people of God rebels, and say, shall we fetch water for you out of the well? I mean, allowed his mouth to run. I mean, out of the rock. Allows his mouth to run wild. And yet, he had seen tremendous glory from God. He had seen the fire, the burning bush. He had worked incredible miracles, the parting of the Red Sea, and all those creative miracles he did in the land of Egypt. And through the fire of the tongue, in a moment, you know, with lack of caution, he got into trouble. And Jesus said, every idle word or every negative word, it is negative, it is not wholesome, and if it is not bringing a blessing, every negative word shall come into judgment. And Jesus also said, look, you know, when you say thou fool, or call your brother, you say raka, you say, you be careful now, you be in danger of hellfire. Jesus said all these things. So we got to be careful. So Lord, we pray today in the name of Jesus that you will help us in this room this morning. In Jesus' name, help us, O God, we pray. Help us, O God, we pray in this room this morning. Help us, O God. Help me, I pray. Now listen, if you're a person that is given to speak all the time, or pray this prayer with me here this morning, you know, you like to speak and let your mouth just run amok. Well, pray this prayer of consecration this morning. And, you know, talk is going to get you into trouble. You know, stop and think. You need this big, bold red sign that says, stop. Think before you speak. You know, some the words that we speak, it can be a deadly poison if we're not careful. It can be like wounds, the words of a talebearer. we are told, are like wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And once you drop those vitriolic words, those words that are full of venom and poison, those toxic words, you cannot bring them back. Even when you say, I take it back, you can't. But the person will remember those deadly words for a long time. So, Father, we're praying for grace this morning. Grace to control this tongue. I need the Holy Ghost branding on my tongue, just like Isaiah experienced here. The coals of fire from the altar branded his tongue. And then his iniquity was purged. Glory to God. Oh, Father, may your presence reveal to us the impurities that are in our hearts. Because, you know, if your mouth says any negative things, came from your heart. So check yourself this morning. Bible says, examine yourself. Check yourself this morning. If your mouth has said negative thing, your mouth has said things that are not wholesome, it came from your heart. You know, so even though you say, oh, I have Jesus in my heart. No, these things came from the heart. That's what the Bible says. So we got to get our heart cleansed. We cannot, with the same from the heart, bring forth good and evil. That's not going to work. So let's cleanse our ways. Let's cleanse our hearts this morning. Scripture says, if any man offend not in word, James chapter 3, we read it at the beginning, the same will be a perfect person. The same will be a perfect man. If you do can figure out how to put this tongue under. And ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, the things that we are talking about today dealt with the tongue, how it can be an unruly evil and a deadly poison. It can be a world of hate and everything. You know, all the hate that's going on in this world, it's the tongue that's perpetrating most of it. People say evil things. They call people names. They say all kinds of things, you know, to each other. And you can really destroy somebody by the words you say to them. It's been known that, you know, parents that have been very careless, you know, in the spirit, or maybe people who are not trained, or even ungodly parents, they say wicked things to their children. They use their mouth to say horrible things to them. And then the next thing you know, those children are acting those things out. You know, but when you can train your lips to call your children blessed, and you never say any angry words, or I mean any bitter words, any curse words ever against your children or your spouse or your brethren or anybody for that matter, because you'll be in danger of hell. That's what Jesus said. But when your words are with grace, when they are seasoned with salt, when they are like a tree of life, then we are on the way to perfection. But this is the area that most people cannot get under control. You'll be able to get everything else under control, but you can't get this one under control. Well, we need practice. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. Pray more in tongues and speak less, you know, with, you know, your natural words. And it will help you. Glory to God. You know, so, but be swift to hear and slow to speak. And let everyone that has listened to this morning and everyone that may be listening by replay, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will consecrate. The scripture say, consecrate your heart before me. Circumcise your heart. Glory to God. Before me. In the name of Jesus. He said, these people say in their heart that they love the Lord, you know, but with their lips, they say they love the Lord, but their heart is far from me. But no, you know, God can see our heart, can see everything. So we got to cleanse ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 says, having dearly beloved these precious promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the spirit and the mind, the body, the flesh, everything, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Let us cleanse this tongue. You know, let's not stir up grievous words. Let our words be like honeycomb. Let our words be soothing. Let our words be words of encouragement, words that bring life. Let us be a savor of life and not a savor of death. For out of the life, out of the tongue proceeded death and life. The power is in the tongue to bring either death or to bring life. Poison is in the tongue. And that poison poisons your soul. It has a deadly effect on the person that hears it, but it also poisons your soul. Bitterness in the heart of a man, when it springs up in their heart, will trouble them. Angry spirit that leads to somebody just speaking with their mouth anyhow, cause a great man like Moses to miss entering into the promised land. How much more we today? Let us fear before the Lord, for our God is a consuming fire. But we want that fire to consume the evil out of our tongue today. And as we prepare our bodies a living sacrifice before the Lord, this is one area that can make that sacrifice stink. If we don't cleanse our tongues, that sacrifice will stink and God cannot come in the fire. But when we present a living sacrifice that is holy, that's acceptable before the Lord, that is void of offense, get rid of this evil that the tongue can do to poison things, then the God of fire, a God that answered by fire, will come down, consume everything. Glory to God. He will accept that sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus. Let my life be worthy of the Lord. Say, walk worthy of all in the name of Jesus. We give you, Lord, the praise, and I give you the glory on here this morning in Jesus' name.